Listener-supported Light of Life Radio brings you Answering the Call, discussing the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious in our listening area. And now here's Answering the Call with host Irene Carubia.
We thank all our listeners for joining us today on Answering the Call on LOL Radio, broadcasting throughout North Central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. It is here that we discuss with priests and religious from our listening area their call from God for their vocation. I'm Irene Carubia, and today we have with us Father Dean Borgmeyer, priest of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston, and currently serving as pastor of St. Joseph Parish in Huntington and vicar forain of the Charleston Vicariate. He is also chaplain at Marshall University and chaplain of St. Joseph Central Catholic High School and Grade School. Welcome, Father, and thank you for serving parishioners in our listening area.
Thanks, Irene, for the opportunity to talk about God's great love for us and his call to us in our vocations.
Where's your home? Where did you grow up?
1951, March 3rd, I was born in St. Charles, Missouri.
We have the same birthday.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, excellent. March 3rd.
Happy birthday to
hey.
You. Belated.
Same here.
We were there till, I think it was like 1959. We moved to Huntington, and we became a member for a few months to St. Joseph in Huntington, and then moved over to Our Lady of Fatima Parish.
Now, how old were you when you moved to Our Lady of Fatima?
I was in third grade, so I'd be about 9 years old.
So your parents were Catholic?
Both parents were Catholic, came from a very traditional Catholic family background. My grandmother, or my dad's mom, was a housekeeper for priests for a lot of years. And my mother's side were farmers out in Missouri, Old Monroe, Missouri, and had a very beautiful, trusting faith life. A lot of religious pictures in the house. And even later on when they moved to the city, their house looked like a small chapel. Wall-to-wall, saints, images of Mary, other people.
So do you think this had a great influence on you?
It still has a great influence on me. I have the image of the Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart of Mary that was over my grandparents' bed. I have that in my house now. My house also resembles a church, wall-to-wall religious pictures.
Oh, it is a church.
Oh, yeah, really much, yeah. And then also, I think, just the reliance on prayer. We had a traditional family practices. And it wasn't over the top. We weren't zealots, but it was familiar to have the rosary in October in candlelight. We had the blessed candle, and we would do that in candlelight. So it was very, very simple, but, again, very beautiful.
When did you think you first had the urge to consider the priesthood as your vocation in life?
You know, I think that's one of the mysteries. Many priests might tell you the same thing. I remember in fourth grade, we had to make a little poster or something or other. I don't know about vocation at the time, but I remember making a little red vestment out of red nongahide. Oh. And the saying I had, it was on a shirt board. It was very, we didn't have a very large art class with the supplies. The words didn't hardly mean anything to me at all, but it was to be or not to be. And I don't know where that came from, but I know I was thinking about it at the time. Later on, it was kind of a beautiful coincidence because we were not near family out in Missouri, then we were free to pretty much imagine other directions than cousins would have done. We were thinking in other ways. We were not relying on their opinions or their direction. And so they were just opening up the prep seminary in Parkersburg. So it opened up in 1967. I have a brother who was a year ahead of me that went in 66. He graduated in 68. I graduated in 1969. So I went in a year after him.
Did you share the call with your family when did you really think about, I think I would like to be a priest? How old were you? Do you remember? Were you in grade school, high school?
I believe because my brother was thinking already going to the seminary, and there was a strong effort by the diocese to bring students up to that prep seminary. One of our vocation directors at that time, Father Jody Tobias, was our vocation director, and he was also associate pastor, was attentive, I think, in inviting students to think about the seminary as a possible high school. I think I was an ideal young person that seemed kind of heroic. You have no idea what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Academically, I was not a very strong student. I think I had my own, you know, kind of shortcomings on that. And even my eighth grade principal confided with my pastor, Father Tierney, that she did not think I could make it.
Why was she wrong?
That's right. I think I may become a priest just to prove him wrong.
Oh, I don't think so.
But I struggled for the 4 years. I think being away from home certainly was an added stress. I'm not a person into math or science. Latin was very difficult. So I tell people now, I said, if you want me to become a priest, have a Vatican Council change everything in English. But they did have a Vatican Council. They've all turned to English.
Oh, okay.
So that I did not have to have as much Latin as they had a few years ahead, you know, before me. So I did well enough to go on to college. I was not able to go to Wheeling Jesuit with my classmates, again, because of my academic grades. So I ended up at St. Meinrad, Indiana. And I was there for 2 years. And again, academics was the bane of my existence at that time. And then I left and went to the Navy for 4 years. I got smart in boot camp. I realized what my problem was. I did not apply myself.
So what happened then? Did you think about being a priest while you were...
Well, I certainly did not keep that in front of me. I was discovering, I think that, you know, to apply myself to my studies, to ask questions of things I did not do well the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some community college classes. I took an algebra class. I got B's in it, and I had never had that experience before. So my confidence really grew. I was doing some very technical things as a corpsman, and I was challenging my own self. You know, I am not, you know, a backward man. I have a very good intellect, but I just did not trust it, I don't think, earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately after the Navy, I think it was 2 weeks later, I went back to the seminary and did very well.
What is your favorite part of being a priest?
I think because the schedule changes so much, I think a person with attention deficit disorder, it's a very serious condition for those who have that.
Is that what you were diagnosed with?
Well, I worked with a religious who had diagnosed me, and she said that, you know you're ADD, and I went, what? And everybody else knew it but me, that my attention changes a lot of different places. I don't fight that, which mm-hmm. means I really like a varied schedule. And so there is no 2 days alike. I may have a completely empty calendar by the morning, but then later on it's full of all kind of activities. And the next day will be totally different. So I really like that. It demands creativity. It demands flexibility. A lot of patience, and I think I'm a better person because of that.
How has your prayer life changed from when you first became a priest till now?
This is a challenge I think I would give to our, I'm going to say Catholic families, but Christian families. But in the Catholic household, it is really so important that the Sunday Mass is honored. You know, in our time, if one person in the family was sick, well, that person stayed home and everybody else went to Mass. Nowadays, if one person is sick, I feel that people tend to all stay home, that they don't find opportunities to go to the Eucharist. If we don't have young people going to Mass, how will they ever fall in love with Christ in the sacraments? And so I really would like to have the listeners look at the value, and it may not be known at the time, that they make the Sunday Eucharist a high priority. Those devotions that we had as families, having religious pictures there, reminding ourselves of the presence of Christ in the simplest ways, prayer before meal. Now, again, you know, we were a typical family. We would pray at 90 miles an hour. I'm sure we honored God, but it was like, bless the Lord, and these, I guess, we're about to be saved by Christ, our Lord, amen. We said it.
Yes.
At warp speed, but we prayed. Now, later on in the seminary, they added on to what was already a foundation of my home, and that was they provided time for meditation, for daily Mass, for the rosary, for scripture reading, and other practices that is still very much part of my life now. So as a young person, you really help them have a foundation that they're going to draw on later on. It may seem very difficult maybe at a time in their lives, in their teen years or their middle school years, but the reward, I think, is there for later on. I frequently turn to the Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and again, some other practices.
What kind of vocation advice would you give to someone who's discerning the priesthood or religious life, married life, or single life even? If they came to you and said, you know, Father, what can you advise me to do? What kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I'm gonna focus in on the diocesan priesthood. That's what I know best. I don't know if it would be much different for those seeking, for the women seeking maybe religious communities, other men seeking other religious communities outside of diocesan priesthood. But it is really kind of looking at the values that you have in your life right now. Develop a sense of quiet, getting away from some of the noise in our day-to-day life. I know our young people are busy, but sometimes we're too busy to be quiet. If there's a lot of computer, a lot of video games, a thing, is just a periodically step away from that. You know, take a walk in silence. Don't be opposed to coming to a weekday mass during the summer months. You may shock the heck out of your family, but, you know, I think just every once in a while say, I want to go to mass. I want to just, or if you're near a church and the doors tend to be open during the daytime, just to stop in, make a visit. Yeah, may I know, no idea what to say, but somehow begin to feel that that church is really your home and to feel at peace with it, to be curious about, you know, the priests who have been former pastors. Offer your services as a server, some other kind of form of ministry or assistance around the church. It's all, I think, very, very, very simple, very common, not complicated. At some point, you want to maybe bring up your question either to a family member or, you know, the next time you see a priest in the confessional, you say, you know, I've been kind of thinking about this. I would like to not jump on that and just assume they're going to have a vocation, but to encourage them to return again and talk about it some more. Give them some reading time, you know, become friends with Christ. And if it's meant to be, things will open up. Eventually we would contact the vocation office and just say, you know, for the younger person, here's a retreat for kids called the Quo Vadis Retreat we have in the summer months. There's an older one for discovering Christ in the winter months. Meet other people, other young men, young women in other cases, who are also discerning. You're not alone in this, and other people are also asking the question. So I think that's pretty much the direction I have taken in the past.
That sounds like wonderful advice.
I tried, you know, it's some assignments, it's easier than others, I don't know why, but St. Andrew was the first apostle called by Christ. And I had up in Morgantown, and I've tried this also at Huntington on occasion, to call the St. Andrew Supper Club. And it's really for young men who just want to get together. I put a supper together. I make a lasagna, German style.
So, I mean, what does that mean, German style?
Right. Instead of ricotta, you use sauerkraut. No, but I wouldn't recommend that. No, but I would. But just some time to get together over a supper and just talk about, you know, vocations, or in the case of Huntington, a priest who really offered a whole lot of his life for the Diocese of Wheeling, at that time just Wheeling, Monsignor Thomas A. Quirk. He came from Ireland. He had let some political prisoners go from his father's jail. He fled, came to America, fought in the Civil War, went to France. Our Bishop Whalen, our first bishop, went over there looking for priests to help us in West Virginia. I think there were only six in the whole state. He came over and was ordained, became the first pastor of Huntington. And he spent 9 years there. He established us. For those who know Huntington, Third Avenue was a cornfield, he said. And he noticed that when the floods came, there was a piece of land that did not go underwater, and that's why our church is where it's at now, because it was on high ground. He was transferred to Weston, and he was there for like over 40 years. They offered him an earldom up in England, but he couldn't go back because he had to renounce his Catholic faith. He rejected that. And stayed in the West Virginia hills. The bishop asked him to take more prominent parishes, but he said, no, you don't transplant old trees. to tell stories like that, you know, and I think it increases our imagination for, you know, heroic living. I think men are made for that, made for heroism, and hopefully they can be inspired by those kind of stories.
Father, would you give our listeners a blessing?
I would love to. Wherever you are right now, maybe you're at home, maybe you're at your office or at your car, to know that right now God is calling you to be His child in the world you're in. I ask you to listen to His voice. You may already have a vocation in marriage. You may have a career. But God is still calling you within that to be His ambassador. May you be the face of Christ wherever you go and whatever you do. May God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So remember to pray for us priests, too.
Every day. Thank you again, Father, for being here and sharing your call with our listeners and for all the good works that you do. I'm Irene Carubia, host for Answering the Call, wishing all a blessed day.
Answering the Call is produced by Light of Life Radio, your listener-supported Catholic radio station in North Central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. Archived recordings of Answering the Call are available at www.lolradio.org.